Welcome to the Neo-Narcissism Podcast, hosted by emotional intelligence specialists Kim and Jackie of Element Q, alongside strategic psychotherapist Brad Kaufman.
How is something so small made into something so big? And this, again, ties into gaslighting. They will take something as little as this and just blow it up.
Go from molehill to mountain?
Yes.
And also mountain to molehill.
Yes.
So go the opposite way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so if there's something big to you, they can gaslight you in the opposite direction. Let's say something happens significantly to you at work, you come home, you're upset about it, they'll look at you like you're a crazy person for having a certain reaction to that thing, rather than understanding what the reaction to that thing is all about. And that's another subtle form of gaslighting.
Yeah.
So.
It takes on many shapes and forms.
Yes.
Yeah, it does. And I do think, like, it's worth cycling back to, Jackie, that, like you said, it can start to show up once there's been training around gaslighting within just a look, just a body language gesture, a little sideways glance, whatever it might be, right? A slight change in the tone of voice. And you know what messaging is underneath that, and then you go into your own internal gaslighting.
Mm.
Yeah.
And again, why do we do the internal gaslighting?
Even bigger question.
It's a great question.
Well, because we're trying to maintain connection, unity.
I'm just going to jump onto what you're saying there, but yeah, you're trying to maintain this connection, and you're trying to maintain peace and harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And safety.
And safety.
Mm-hmm.
But it is at the absolute destruction and disregard of your own self.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and a lot of times it's a denial to your own self as well.
Yes. Well, it totally is.
You know?
Because you're reprogramming your internal thinking and decision making based on what is going to work to appease the narcissist or to keep you safe.
Yeah. So, and then when you talk about family systems too, it's, you already see the disturbance that's happening through the narcissist or by the narcissist. So ultimately, then, we shut down those other parts of us to ease the system, to allow the system to function better. And especially if we're a child within that system, it's like, well, I can make the job for my parents easier if I just don't cause any ripples, if I don't voice my own concern, or if I take on that own, you know, do my own critical judgment of self. I was going to say critical thinking, but it's different than that. You know, judgment of self to kind of keep yourself in check, to remain safe, and all those other things that we talked about.
Yeah, to me, that's important phrasing of what you're saying, that your own internal critical judgment of self, because it's sort of like, if you know the game well enough, you know that if you did X, it's going to result in this. Well, let's... You would think that in your own internal judgment of self, that if I wear this shirt, this is going to happen, so I'll wear this shirt today. If I do this action, this is going to happen, so I will walk quietly. If I do the, you know, like whatever it is, so then you're internally managing everything so that you're not going to run into something. But then, unfortunately, with the narcissist, if you do all of that and they notice it, well, the blue shirt may not be the right shirt for today.
Right. And like you're talking about, it can be a moving target too.
Yeah.
So that can make you feel like you're going crazy too.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that is like such a key point in that as well, is that it won't be one topic, right? The target's going to keep moving, which is why that sort of gaslight training that happens, like, because you can't keep, if it applied to this situation and it applies to this situation, it applies to this situation, well, now I don't even need the narcissist to tell me that it's going to apply to this situation. I'll just do it for myself over here.
Right.
Because it applies randomly everywhere at any given time without any sort of heads up or warning.
But then, unfortunately, like what you just said there is, I'm just going to apply it to this situation. You're not even actually in reality anymore.
Right.
Right? Because you've already decided the outcome is going to be X, So you've changed your internal outcome before even experiencing a true outcome. So then you're in fantasy within your own internal dialogue.
That's great.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That is so well said, because we're pulled into that alternate reality.
Yeah.
And trying to, I say what we end up doing is we end up trying to manage the emotional reactivity of the narcissist.
Yeah.
So that they don't have to manage it for themselves, which is exactly what they want.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. They win.
So then they don't have to do that internal work. Everything is being done around them. And you know it, right? You know that if you step over that line, you're just going to get your head bit off.
Mm-hmm.
So you just don't do it.
Yeah. Or, I mean, it could be that. It could be, like, sort of have these snaps, but it could also show up in shaming the person or accusing them of not caring or not whatever, fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a destructive tool that gets used.
Yeah.
And you can see sort of the invasiveness of how it impacts every other aspect of somebody's life, particularly if they're doing that internal gaslighting.
Mm-hmm. So, and you'll know that gaslighting is playing a fairly major role in your life if you're doing a lot of walking on eggshells.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say to take that to the extreme is that you're walking in a field of landmines,
mm-hmm.
right? And you never know what landmine you're going to get. You never know
if it's loaded or not.
Well, yeah, and you never know what form of destructive.
It's going to be a big explosion, a small explosion.
Yeah.
Is it just going to knock you onto your ankles, or is it going to knock you right onto your ass?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So, or yeah, just blow you to bits.
Blow you to bits.
Whatever it is, right?
Yeah. Another word for that, too, is the sort of this hypervigilance that can come into play, and this sort of future thinking. So you're not really staying in the present. You're
yes.
like, oh, what am I going to have to do an hour from now, 10 minutes from now, tomorrow? You know, whatever it might be. So you're sort of always projecting into the future of which landmine you have to step around.
So, no, that is such a critical point, because if I were to talk directly to our listeners, I would say that I'm sure a lot of you have had the experience where you are prescripting what you're going to say before you say it. And if you end up prescripting in your own mind, even like in the moment, even if it's a fraction of a second before you say it within it, and you're running all of the scenarios of how is this person going to react, like I ended up with a whole Rolodex inside my own head as to what words are green light words and which ones are like yellow light words and which ones are red light words. And it's like, oh, right, all of these words, I can't use it. And it just becomes like, again, I keep using the word crazy making and insane, because that's exactly how it feels. In healthy relationship, you can use the words in the dictionary to express your message as long as they aren't, you know, demeaning and that type of thing. So,
but you also have to watch your tone.
Yes.
And you have to watch the pacing and how you try to communicate this message. Like, you'll be so attuned and aware of every sort of movement within that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's almost like, to me, I sort of visualize it as the gears in like a really intricate watch. Like, we gotta sort of like really know where each gear is gonna sort of land so that you can keep that watch moving. Because
mm-hmm.
if you interrupt that at all, right, with saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing, whatever it might be, in the wrong way,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it kind of falls apart on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those of you that have experienced this type of thing, you know how exhausting it is. And those that haven't experienced this type of thing, I'm sure as you're listening, you can imagine how exhausting it would be to have to carry that level of, like you're talking about, that hypervigilance or that hypersensitivity.
Yeah.
To make sure that you aren't stepping on the narcissist's toes to create a reaction where they're just going to come at you in some way.
Yeah,
because you cannot trust what response you'll get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was going to say, too, that it doesn't always have to be a negative or a big or a loud response in terms of like an with the gaslighting either, and how well it works, or the control and the self-gaslighting. In my experience too, it was all the steps I took to try to get love from the family member. And it wasn't necessarily that I got negative response, or it wasn't like unkind, it was just like a lack of love.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you didn't get this quite right this time, try
mm-hmm.
again. Like,
yeah.
I was like, oh, well, I've done that so many times and it's still not getting the love I want out of it. And so you try a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so to me, it's sort of like that, well, this didn't work the last time, so I'm going to try again this time. Or if I do it so many times, it's not necessarily trying to prevent a reaction, it's trying to get a reaction.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
So they can sort of withhold their appreciation, their love,
mm-hmm.
their kindness from you as well.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's something that comes up for me as you talk about that, to your earlier comment about how we end up living or trying to generate almost like this false reality
mm-hmm.
at that point. Because now you're trying to adjust yourself for the sake of connection, acceptance,
yeah.
oftentimes acceptance. And so let's say you could get it right for the narcissist. How much did you have to change about yourself to actually get to that level of acceptance? So then, is that true acceptance, or is it a fantasy acceptance?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a false acceptance.
Yeah.
Totally is.
And so, yeah, it's just like a never, or an always losing game,
yeah.
a never winning game. Because, yeah, even if you do get that sense of acceptance, well, I was only accepted because I totally changed everything about
mm-hmm.
how I dressed, how I spoke, how I acted, how I...
Who I am.
Who I am,
yeah.
essentially.
And who I want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, no, that definitely touches on the heart
yeah.
of somebody, of our natural human desire for connection and acceptance and everything like that. But at what cost,
yeah.
right?
And even if you do get it right one time, right? Like, oh, okay, I know how to do this now, right? I know how to do this dance with this narcissist. It won't be right the next time.
No, it will
right.
not.
So you might feel like you have a sense of a win, like you're like, oh, I understand how this human works. Okay, now I know how to be supportive, in quotation marks,
mm-hmm.
right? Or how to make this work. And then it doesn't work the next time, and
mm-hmm.
it doesn't work the next time. And then you just keep sort of twisting and bending your own sense of self until it's almost unrecognizable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and welcome to the effects of gaslighting.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, gets you to question,
mm-hmm.
change everything about yourself.
Yeah.
What I didn't really realize until having this conversation is how gaslighting works to get the other people around them out of reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that's essentially what they're going to do, yeah.
Because they're not grounded in
no.
reality. So if you're in a relationship with them, in whatever form that looks like, you need to join their fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what enables it to work. And if they're not in reality, they need to get you out of reality, because then you're not able to be a badass who's grounded in reality.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And they can't enter your reality.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Poof.
Yeah. So now, again, I think it's important to understand the narcissist through this idea that they have to weave a reality that only they feel comfortable with, and they have to get everybody around them to facilitate that reality. So, of course, when you grow up in a household where there is this type of narcissistic narrative being spun, or this altered reality being spun, you just learn how to make their reality work for them. And in turn, to some degree, it works for you, but it never fully works for anybody.
Yeah.
Right? At least you can survive the system in,
yeah.
like you're saying, a safe, quotation marks, a safe way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, ultimately it's doomed to crash and burn.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Wow. Okay. So I hope that's clarifying for people on what gaslighting is. So, I mean, we've used the term quite a bit. And yeah, there are different people that talk about gaslighting out there as well. So all of these perspectives kind of brought together into this is helpful. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
If you have any questions or any clarification around this, drop us a line and we're happy to, if we can answer that for you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. At the Neo-Narcissism Podcast
at gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. So, and we're happy to communicate with you there. And as always, you don't know how to deal with something until you know what you're dealing with. We'll see you next time.